Thank you for being here. Harmony of the Gospels. Let's thank the Lord, and then we'll compare Scripture with Scripture. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's accounts of their walk with Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at these various passages and harmonizing them, that we would see the full picture of what happened at that time. We thank you for just the inspiration of each of these authors. And we thank you for your infallible word and how we can grow and mature by it. We ask that even this day, there'd be some maturity in our life as a result of our study. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, last week we began, we said, okay, we're in the last week of the Lord. Now, it's going to take more than just 7 days to get through this, because especially on the third day, he does an awful lot. But day one, we saw him entering into Jerusalem triumphantly. We saw him weeping over the fact that that the city, he understood the city of Jerusalem was going to be judged, and it would be judged in 70 AD. This is the second day that we're looking at of the last Passover week. And basically, we're going to see the Lord curse a fig tree, and then he's going to cleanse the temple. All right, so let's take a look at what's going on. When and where was Jesus coming from? Well, Matthew says it like this. Now, in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. Well, Mark says it like this. And on the morrow, when they, instead of he, they were come from Bethany, so he tells them from where they're coming, he was hungry. So you put them together, you see him going into the city. He's going out of the city of Bethany into the city of Jerusalem. But we see both of them mention that he is what? Hungry. He's hungry. Well, what did Jesus see? Matthew says, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, found nothing thereon. Mark says it like this. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, now that's something added, having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Then Mark adds this, for the time of the figs was not yet. Well, wait a minute, you mean Jesus doesn't know the time of the figs? So why would he be looking for fruit if he knows it's not the time of the figs? Well, I just mentioned this, the order of events. Matthew treats his material topically. Mark treats it more chronologically, if you will, as we go through that, if you can remember that. But now watch this. Early green buds was common food for the peasants. And the early green buds would come even before, you know, they would be the buds. They would eat the buds. The fruit isn't, but the peasants would be happy to have the buds, all right? Also note this. Fig trees can bear fruit first when the leaves appear, or both can appear about the same time. So there's that thought. And then to finally ask you this. What lessons do you think Jesus is trying to teach his disciples? About Jesus? About Israel? Before we go on, you got any idea you want to shoot in the dark as to what you think the Lord might? Because here he is. He sees this tree. He says, okay, let's go get something to eat. And he gets over there, and there's no fruit on it. Okay, we should always be bearing fruit. Who wasn't bearing fruit? Remember who he's been addressing right along here. The Pharisees, the scribes, you know, these big religious leaders, and really all of Israel, because remember what he just said. Just the day before, here he is weeping over Jerusalem. Why? They're going to be judged. Why? Because they're not producing fruit. Israel's a barren, they may, oh, look, you know, outwardly, oh, well, man. But when you get closer, when you examine them closer, there was no fruit. So there is a spiritual lesson that he's teaching them, not only about Israel, but as we'll see, maybe at this point you don't see much because all you do is see, well, and you haven't even seen it yet, the Lord is hunger. So we might say, okay, we see that he definitely there's the aspect of his human nature because he has a, he's hungry, all right? But we're not done about looking at what Jesus can and will do. What did Jesus do? Look at Matthew says on the bottom page 1. He says, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. Then he also, Mark says this, Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So we see that little added thing. So the aspect is that Jesus is what to the tree? He's what? He's cursed it. That it's never going to bear any more fruit. And the disciples heard him utter those words, all right? Well, let's go to our second sheet. Where does Jesus go next? Because we won't pick that up until the next our next lesson, what happened to that fig tree. Today, he curses it. Tomorrow, we'll see that it's dead. But where does Jesus go next? Well, and Jesus went into the temple of God. Now, he just looked into it the day before, okay? By one account, he just looked into it. Now, he saw what was going on. Now, he's back to do something about it. Mark says this, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. So he's into the temple. Luke says, and he went into the temple. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're all saying the same thing. Hey, he's going in now into the temple. Now, what did Jesus do in the temple? Matthew says, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So that's Matthew's account. Mark says this, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, very similar. He overthrew the tables of the money changers, okay, very similar, and the seats of them that sold doves. Wow. Then Mark adds this phrase, though, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. So that's the added aspect. Luke says this, and he began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. Now, Luke's account was pretty abbreviated, wasn't it? But that's what we have. Now, I mentioned to you there was a first cleansing way back when Jesus began his ministry. In John 2, we have that first cleansing. This is, at the end of his ministry, another cleansing of the temple. So what's that tell you about the people and their worship? Had it changed that much? No. Had they heeded the Lord's warnings the first time? No. Because this is only 3 years later, okay? First cleansing, then the third cleansing, final cleansing. Now, I mentioned this to you. Exodus 20, verses 12 through 16, required an annual half shekel of all the male Jews 20 years and old and up, okay? That's what it required. What about these money changers? Well, look at this. I mentioned this to you. Money changers would change the Roman money and the Greek money into the proper Jewish coin. And why was that necessary? Because the Romans and the Greeks all had an emperor stamped on it. All right? And that's like idol worshiping. Those coins, they wouldn't. It's kind of interesting. See, the Jews, they would adhere to certain rules and then make up their own other rules, all right? But, oh, man, we can't have any Roman coin. We can't have any Greek coin. They've got to be changed. Well, okay, so you have the money changers. But the thing about these money changers, they were very fraud. And they were always charging more than they should in the exchange of money. And I don't know if you've ever gone overseas, but I remember when we went to Brazil, Roger said to me, okay, listen, let me have your money. I'll go and get exchanged. Because he knew where to go for, and he wouldn't get ripped off versus these others would rip you off, charging you more than you know what they should be doing. So I allowed him to do that very thing. But this is what's going on. I mean, they are, it's thievery going on. They got animals in there. They've got all kinds of things going on. And then I ask you this question. What does this say about our Lord? What's it say about mankind? Well, we see mankind is given over to robbery, if you will, or extortion, if you will, thievery, if you will. But what's it say about the Lord? Anything? He's jealous for his what? For his father. And his father's house ought to be a house that is not full of thievery. Now, let's go to our next sheet. Note, what did Jesus say to them? We saw, you know, what he did. He forbid them to do these things. But what did he say to them? Well, Matthew says this. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. Mark, pretty close. And he taught them, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? Ah, but you've made it a den of thieves. And Luke, saying unto them, it's written, my house is the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And I mentioned to you, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 56, 7, last part of it, and Jeremiah 7, 11. But, you know, they're all saying the same thing, using this reference that God's house should be a house of prayer. But they've all mentioned that they've made it a place of what? A den of what? Thieves. All right? That's what the Lord says. Now, next question. Who came to Jesus in the temple and what did he do? Now, only Matthew gives us this account. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So not only was the temple a place for prayer, but the Lord made also a place for what? Healing. Healing. Next question. How did the priest and scribes respond to what they saw and heard? Matthew and Mark's account says this. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Oh, wouldn't you think that they would have been rejoicing? I mean, they saw the wonderful things he did. They heard the children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were displeased. What does Mark say about this? Well, the scribes and chiefs, they heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Why? For they feared him. Why? Because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. So we see that the whole strong spirit of jealousy, don't we? So much so that they want to destroy him. The children are crying, Hosanna. The people are astonished at his teachings. And they all are marveling at his works. And the Jews, the religious Jews, are very envious because of Jesus' works and words. So what did they say to Jesus? Well, Matthew says, and they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Talking about the children. Because now, what were they saying? Hosea to what? To the Son of David. They were acknowledging him as king. They're acknowledging him as king. And no doubt they, oh man, with their fear, wow, Rome is going to come and, you know, and suppress us more and more. But it's interesting, where they didn't want the children to cry out that he was king, what did Jesus say to them? Matthew 21 says this, and Jesus saith to them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" What was Jesus indicating? Most believe it came from Psalm 8:2. Oftentimes we see the Lord quoting what? What's he quote? What's he use all the time in verifying who he is? The scriptures. He uses the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, to verify that he is indeed the Son of David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he's saying, look, have you never heard how the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? He's saying, listen, let them praise. Well, in fact, where did Jesus go and what did he do at this point? Well, it says, and he left them and he went out of the city into Bethany and he lodged there. Now, this has been what he did the first night. This is what he's doing the second night. And when Eve was come, he went out of the city, Mark tells us. All right. Now we're at the end of the second day. And I didn't go on any further because we just want to cover this day. But let's take a look at what we looked at. Did we learn anything? What did we learn, I should say? What do these verses teach us about our triune God? Some passages teach us more about God the Father. Some others teach us more about God the Spirit. Of course, this passage, because it's about Christ, is teaching us more about God the Son. What did this teach us about God the Son? I already quoted one thing, or mentioned one thing. Jesus knew the what. And you would expect that Jesus would know the word. He's quoting it all the time. And he has reverence for his Father. Very good. Has a strong reverence. And that this is a house of prayer. You made it in the Father's house. He's made reverence and respect. Very good, Sharon. Anything else did we learn about our Lord? Yeah, he wasn't just a little wimpy. When it was necessary to bring about retribution, he brought about. Although in the first one he used the whip, we don't see him using the whip here. Kicking over the things, we just see him cleansing it and forbidding them, the money changers, to do those things. He wouldn't let things to be brought in. He ceased them from being brought into the place. But the time before, he used the whip. So there's different times that he uses different techniques in cleansing. Jerry? Okay. Yeah, had they not adhered, you probably then he might have well sat down and made that whip. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there was some kind of physical aspect going on. Yeah. Learn anything else about our Lord? He's worthy of what? Because he's worthy of praise. He didn't silence those children. Yeah, children, you be quiet. No, he let him praise him. He's worthy of praise. Anything else? Well, what do we see about mankind in these verses? All right, we see he's greedy. We know that mankind can be greedy. It can be selfish. Can be jealous. We saw some old, remember, it's just one reference there. We saw some, they came to him for what? For healing. So at least there were some who trusted in him to the extent that he could heal them. So they had that faith. Maybe they didn't have saving faith, but they had faith that, he could do the healing. Anything else about mankind or about our Lord?
Stop. Don't use my father's house.
That's good, Jerry. Yeah, so there had to be some degree of guilt in them, in the fact that, you know, when he told them to stop, we're assuming that they did stop, so there's had to have been an element of guilt. They weren't as familiar with the scriptures, right? Okay. Anything else? Well, okay, you look at that. What might we purpose to do or not to do as a result of our study about the Lord cursing the fig tree? Okay, that's good. Let's bear fruit. The Lord says that we don't all bear the same fruit, some 60, some 80, some 100, but we all ought to be bearing fruit, and we ought to be bearing fruit. I think Rick mentioned it earlier, all the time. And we should be bearing fruit. So we learn that. And so we can purpose to do that. Anything else we might purpose when you're thinking about the fig tree? Now, we haven't got to the next part with the cursing, but up to this point, any other purposes that we might formulate from the fig tree lesson? All right, what about then from the Jesus cleansing the temple? What applications might we make to our life? How should we treat the place of God's where we worship our God? With respect, with reverence, okay. What's that?
Don't bring in bingo.
Don't bring in bingo. It's right, yeah, all right. Don't make it a house of thieves and so forth. But so many have done that very thing, as Al said. That's, you know, that's in our Constitution. It says the only way that we raise money is by the biblical manner of tithes and offerings. And we put that in because of the aspect of so many churches raise money through having fundraisers of some sort, you know, out there. You know, and so forth. So, all right. What else now could we learn about this aspect of when thinking about the cleansing of the temple? We ought to reverence it for sure. Anybody else? Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, the children ones are crying out. So, it'd be good that we ought to demonstrate. Emulate the faith of children in, you know, in singing praises to our Lord, and acknowledge Him as indeed the Son of David, the Messiah, our King. That's good. Anybody else? All right, don't dirty it up. Okay, that's good. Don't dirty it up. Anybody else? Well, he did mention this, you know, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. So definitely, we definitely need to have the aspect that prayer needs to be emphasized in the house of God. So we could purpose to do that very thing. And it should be a place where the blind and lame should feel free to come, right? Feel welcomed. Those who are hurting, those who are suffering, that this could be a place, a shelter of rest. So we want to, we need the purpose that will make God's house a house where the blind and the lame feel welcome. Anything else? I think that's pretty good. All right, so this is day one. Day two. Next Sunday we'll start day three. And like I mentioned, day three, he does the most things on day three. Well, day five is also pretty hectic, but But we'll see that our next time, we're not going to get through everything. We'll take a look at a couple of events that he'll do on the third day of the Passover week. All right, well, it's a short one here today, but let's give thanks and praise for this time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these lessons that we've learned with our Lord. Well, we saw his power to expect fruit from his creation, whether it's trees or whether it's individuals. Lord, his expectation is that we should bear fruit. And if and when we don't, we understand that we should be cut down and cast away. So I pray for each of us that we'd be more diligent this week to seek to bear fruit unto others, and that Lord, we would be a table from which they could eat and be nourished. Help us to know your word. Help us to be able to share your word in the lives of others, that they might grow and mature. Then we also would pray about the whole aspect of the cleansing. Lord, we know the Bible teaches us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we would pray that we would strive daily to just cleanse our body, that we would put off sins, that we would put on righteousness. Help us, Lord, to just daily cleanse this, your temple, our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We would pray, Father, that as we come to this place of worship, that we would do so reverently and respectfully, and that, Lord, because we show you respect and honor, that you would be well pleased with our worship of you. We just ask now for the morning worship that you would just go before us and prepare our hearts to receive the spoken word and to grow and by it and to be nurtured by it. Now we pray all these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.